Good morning, good afternoon, good evening, no matter where you're listening, around the world, this is Sedona Talk Radio.
Welcome to Opening the Doors of Heaven with Alvin. This hour, you will receive powerful revelations and a glimpse into the world where mystery and miracles are commonplace. Here is your host, Alvin.
Good evening, my brothers and sisters of light. We are so very happy to share this hour with you. And I want to also publicly thank Ruchir, who is our video technician. And he is also involved in some of the audio, and he always makes it possible for me to do these shows. So thank you for the hour that he donates of his time every Saturday night. My brothers and sisters, we have a really interesting topic tonight. And it is the new way of living in the fullness of the times that we have entered into. We have on so many of our previous shows discussed the fact that we are in a state of ascension, of wholeness. And yet so many, many teachers out there are giving such fear-based messages. We've been having meetings because I've been so concerned about it, because the light workers are such major pivot points for this new age that we're birthing, that if there is enough teachers that are speaking about the 2012 and financial collapses and all things like that, it could really affect the major light workers of the world, and they are pivoting this new age. And so I wanted to share with you some things that we have in the making that is of interest to finding a way of living with hope, not with fear, but with hope. First of all, we are looking into the possibility of doing a live video broadcast. For those of you that are interested in a weekly broadcast, now I am traveling quite a bit in 2009, but we will tell you the schedules ahead of time. And there won't be topic, because you will get the updated news as it's happened even that day. And if that is of interest to you, please make sure that you are signed up on our email list. We will hopefully also broadcast it on our blog, but the most reliable source of upcoming information always is our general email list. So please make sure that you're signed up if that is of interest to you. We're just looking into it at this point, but, you know, it became so clear to me. I had just a flurry of emails come in from various students that some of the major leaders had said, we're praying for this area and we're praying for that area and we're praying for Vancouver and on and on. Well, of course, if it doesn't happen, it's because they prayed for it. But the bottom line of it is, it has scared a lot of people a lot, including financial doomsday sayers. We can change the financial situation. All that is out there is a mirror. And when we live abundantly with ourselves, when we do not allow others to drain us, which creates an imbalance, we are on the right stage. And this then, you know, becomes our play rather than a script that's written by doomsday prophets. So my hope is that if we can get this up and running, that and this show will help you stay day by day by day, and we will each week talk about what has happened during that week so that you can help create, as the masters that you are, a future of light. I want to share with you some very interesting things that have been pouring in since the new year, and one of them is a phenomenal form of information in that there are 144 12 times 12 groups of root races now. A new group of root races were just recently formed, and so we are now not 96 root races as we have been. We are now 144 root races. And the meaning of the root races is this. They actually represent the DNA strands. Man is the microcosm, has had the DNA strands are actually 12 strands, but there are 12, there are clusters. The strand is not just a strand. It's a cluster of 12 microstrands. We have 144 microstrands, if you will, or 12 clusters of 12 that have come online in the last few days. What this does for life on Earth is as follows. I have always said that the destiny of man has been to uncover and live out and understand a very specific truth. It was the truth of the subpersonalities, of the fact that there are layers within us that are represented by the inner nurturer, the inner child. They are currently no longer expressing separately, but as all the time, all of them. That is the subpersonalities of man, the inner nurturer, the inner child, the inner sage, the inner warrior, the inner high mind, the inner wild instinctual nature, and then ultimately the potential that is accessed through the direction of within. The root races each have a very specific concept of truth, if you will, that they are exploring through their lives. I'm going to share with you tonight perhaps the first sort of 20 of these concepts, but they will be in an up-and-coming publication that will also reveal to you a phenomenal body of information that deals with how to create tinctures and potions and essential oils by using the new body of cat magic that was used extensively in Egypt. It's incorruptible white magic and has recently been purified by the infinite because there were abilities to misuse it. There is no ability to misuse it. And this little book that we're preparing will have that in. It's called The Thought That Fractured the Infinite. And it is about the genesis of life. And in there we give the alchemy of light and frequency, something incredibly unique. Also in there are the 144 precepts. They are the wisdom insights that are being lived out by the 144 root races. These booklets will be available. I don't know that they're necessarily booklets. I think this one could be close to 200 pages, but they will be available electronically, and we'll be placing them on specific websites. Again, please stay on our email list if you're interested in this. Another book that is being made available, we're working on it, and our beloved sister Hong An is typing it as we speak, and we are creating The Way of the Toltec Nagual, and it gives the new precepts of the Toltec way, because since we exited the dream, many of its precepts have become obsolete. And interestingly enough, I was doing work on the Toltec way that the Infinite gave me to do minutes before the show began, and if we have time, I'll certainly share that with you, but otherwise you will find it on tomorrow's blog, which is our daily diary, and our website tells you exactly how to get there. Let's take a look at some of these things that are the truths being lived out by races across the cosmos as their primary truth of being. The first one pertains to something that I started with when we began our program. I said that you can create with me a future of light by keeping your faith and doing your inner work to change the outer mirrors. See, up until this exit of the dream that has happened recently, and we've spoken about it on previous shows, so for those of you that missed it, it's in our archives, but we recently exited the dream. As we exited the dream, a lot of precepts changed. Before that, change came through critical mass. The truth that is being lived out by the first root race is that change through critical mass is obsolete, in that it determines evolution through quantity, but it is in the quality of the one life that all changes. This is a profound truth, and I wanted us to take a look at that because we're looking tonight at how to live in a way as masters on earth that will prepare the earth for a time of peace and enlightenment. I had an email recently from somebody who said, you know, this leader said this, this leader said that, and I could clearly hear the fear in her words. And she was saying, if enough light workers believe this, won't it come about? Well, yes, if change through critical mass were still the case. It isn't. Because change through critical mass had to change us to conform to the perfection of the infinite's intent. And if enough of us change to conform to the perfection of the infinite intent, we bring about that perfection instead of the subcreation of man's fears. But that is different. It doesn't take enough of us doing it. It takes one of us doing it with enough faith. And that is what we mean when we say, but it is in the quality of the one life that all changes. My brothers and sisters, even if we stand alone as a voice in the desert, if we believe with all our heart that if by today we change the within, we can change the without, we absolutely can do it. The more conscious we are, the more of life we embrace within us. And until eventually, we know that we are all things. In my blog of the recent week since I've spoken to you last time, you will read the incredible awakening that I had about identity consciousness. I have gone through at least three massive changes of first knowing that I was not the body with its thoughts and feelings, but that I was all things that lay within the cosmos. I've made that statement many times in the books that I've written. We are a consciousness superimposed over all that is, having a human experience. Then the infinite said, no, you are in identity consciousness. Then I had to go to the mind at rest, which at that time lay outside the cosmos, and incorporate it within me as well. Then I had to yet again go beyond even that, and mind at rest lay at that time around us like a membrane to the cosmos. And it had no awareness, but it did have energy and power within it. It had consciousness, like a mountain that has not been differentiated out into diamonds and coal and sand and so on. So eventually, you know, I thought, well, now I've got it. And then last September, when I was with the Masters of the Serpent Mound in Ohio, I received another message from the Infinite. No, you're in identity consciousness because you think you're a woman. And I had to go into the stage of becoming first hermaphroditic and then eventually androgynous, which means that there is no gender, there is sexuality, but no gender per se. And this androgyny was another form of losing identity consciousness. And it is only recently that I was told, again by the Infinite, you're in identity consciousness. And I said, how can this be? And it said, because you are thinking of yourself as someone who is, you know, in a specific stage, but in a human form as a human. And you are not only that. You are also that which is animal, that which is mineral, that which is plant, that you must value with equal value as your humanness. So there was a whole new way of losing identity yet again. And why I'm sharing that with you is because as you become vaster and vaster and vaster, my brothers and sisters, the changes you can effect by changing within, by the quality of the one life, changes even more and more and more. So eventually you might change only the planet, then you change the whole cosmos, and so on. So that is what the first root race lives out. Let's take a quick break and we will very soon be back with you.
The world of mysticism has yet another reason to rejoice. Almeen has authored another manuscript of profound knowledge. It's entitled, Opening the Doors of Heaven, Revelations of the Mysteries of Isis. Through a time travel tunnel linking Ireland and Egypt, Isis has sent a small group of masters to prepare for the day when the mysteries would once again be released to the world to restore balance and enhance life. They established the Order of the White Rose to guard the sacred objects and the secrets of Isis. In an unprecedented event heralding the advent of a time of light, these mysteries are released for the very first time. Packed with truly thought-provoking information, this book is bound to have an indelible impression on not only the reader, but on global New Age philosophy. To reserve your copy of this groundbreaking work, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016. The Complete Power Of and the Mystical Keys series of radio programs are a part of the Premier CD set. They are available from Almeen at www.spiritualjourneys.com. Request the entire Premier CD series set or the new book, Aruba Farina, The Book of Fairy Magic, by calling 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back, my brothers and sisters. And there's another few things that I really just ought to tell you very quickly. And that is, first of all, that our windows into eternity, those who have managed to read it, we have it, of course, electronically for you to download, but we also have the beautiful book available now for you to order. The cover is just superb. Our artist has surpassed himself. We had it specially commissioned. I wanted the mother's language to feature in the painting, and it is just magnificent, the artwork. And we've had people write to us and say, thank you, this is fantastic. I think that it will be a profound experience for you. It is currently available. We haven't even prepared an ad for it yet, but you can order it right now from our office. The second thing that I wanted to share with you is that we have completed our first two books, Journey to the Heart of God and A Life of Miracles, as an audiobook. And as I did the audiobook, I did this over the Christmas vacation with our sound producer that's here from Amsterdam, and it's just first class, I think. I edited it as we went along, so it's newly edited so that the information that's there is pertinent and needed to know at this point. It's also very much clearer because some of the very more complex pieces that people have had a bit of a hard time understanding are not part of the audio presentation. Each book is about 4.5 hours, and so it's really nice for you to be able to listen on your commute to work, for example. So the audiobooks will be available very soon. Again, we're just, you know, having to transfer files, get it uploaded, and so on. So please keep your eye open for that. And now to continue, the next root race lives the following precept. Blame and forgiveness are two sides of one coin. Both are born of blindness to the innocence of all experience. Let me read that one more time. Blame and forgiveness are two sides of one coin. Both are born of blindness to the innocence of all experience. My brothers and sisters, we have thought of blame as being unenlightened. But who among us have thought of forgiveness of being likewise? Unless there is blame, there cannot be forgiveness. And I've often said that forgiveness is realizing that there is nothing to forgive. But both of these create two sides of one coin, and what that coin is the misperception that life does not, in innocence and pristineness, run within the body of the infinite. Now, let us take a look, because somewhere a race is living this out. They are working at understanding it through their lives. They are adding depth to its comprehension through their beingness. They represent one of humanity's DNA strands. Now, both being the one side of the coin, and the coin being the misperception that life is not lived in innocence. Let us take a look at why we should believe that life is innocent. When we read quite horrific things in the newspapers and on television of people doing very awful things to other people, why should we believe that they are innocent or that there is innocence? There are two types of forms masquerading as humans walking around on Earth at this time. Let's take a look at the one form first. As long as we retain belief in illusion, which these 144 precepts are designed to dispel, as long as we carry around belief, for example, that change comes through critical mass, that if enough people don't do something, that we cannot bring heaven on earth, instead of realizing that we alone can. When there is illusion kept in place, my brothers and sisters, the black holes on earth are kept in place. And let me tell you what I mean by the black hole, because for sure it's not a real black hole. It's just a metaphor. It's just a name I've given them. A real black hole is something entirely different. The black holes on earth are actually soulless people. Every time we shift, this happened yesterday morning, we shifted in consciousness as a cosmos. Every time we shift in consciousness, life writes out some of the roles of these people, and permit me to just call them my nickname, black holes. We actually took a photograph of somebody interdimensionally that was completely a black hole, meaning that there is no soul present. All you can see, the person is walking in front of me, all you can see is their cap on their head, and there's nothing else in there to see. This particular person was, in fact, stolen out of the body. There was a soulless body, and when we photographed it interdimensionally, all it showed was a black hole. It was like looking into a cavern. There are multiple caverns on Earth. Every time we shift, more and more of them are written out of the equation. In other words, there might be a wife beater, and one night the wife doesn't even remember that she was married. And so instead she just remembers that she has a job, and she's written into a job, and she can support her own children, and you know, she's got the dignity of somebody that isn't being beaten by her husband. So the whole story changes of life. But why are there still some of them there? Because as long as we believe illusion, we are in fact holding on to these black holes that are nothing but a trick of the eye. There is no soul force present. Those beings did not deserve the right to live at these very refined, ascended levels that we have reached. So if there is a lesson to be learned, oftentimes those beings will perpetuate those lessons. If there are lessons of blame to be lived, until we understand that there is innocence, there will be those who are there to blame. So they keep things in place. We change that by changing our belief systems. We come back to the point that we are writing the script. We are co-creators, and we create our environment, even politics, even world leaders. We are creating them. So those beings that are doing sometimes heinous things are black holes. In other words, they're not actually real beings. It's like watching a bad movie on a television screen. The other beings that are on our earth, why we can understand that there is only innocence, is that they have come out of the dream and was found life-enhancing enough to be recreated by the infinite within the infinite's being. We have spoken multiple of our programs on the fact that in the dream we were made from the potter's clay, that we have now, as we exited the dream, those who are worthy of life have become part of the potter's very being. The potter's very being, we are talking about holy, sacred, incorruptible matter, the one real element containing within it energy, power, awareness, life force, light, frequency, perception, self-perception. All of this creates incorruptible matter, the only element in existence. We are all now, unless we're a black hole, which is a nothing, created from that. Now, my brothers and sisters, really consider this. The infinite does not allow life within its own being to pollute itself. Therefore, every being there is living whatever level of truth they perceive as their highest truth. That means they are impeccable. That means they're innocent. Or they are really not a being at all. They are a being that is a black hole. And that means, you know, there's no soul force, there's no pattern, there's nothing. It's a trick of the eye. All there is right now is total, pristine innocence. And as long as we believe anyone can do something to us, or that anyone can make life less than pleasant, if we do not understand that we are ourselves responsible for what is manifested in our environment. My brothers and sisters, today, the infinite put, and some of my brothers and sisters will be very delighted to hear this, especially our beautiful master Antara in Florida, who writes articles for our Kriya Vaspata, animalhealing.com is what it's called, www.animalhealing.com. And she writes articles for that website. She adores animals, and she asked Mother to give her the ability to photograph interdimensionally those things that her animals seem to be seeing. And Mother had me give her a blessing, and immediately she has started to photograph dragons. She has started to photograph fairies, angelic beings. It's absolutely beautiful. And we've got some of her work that has been placed on the blog recently. Some of them are placed on the animalhealing.com website. And I think her dragons have been placed on the mysticalkingdoms.com website. The point of the matter is that just today, the infinite has said that animals of those who know that death can be overcome and who are living as the immortal masters that we've all been created as, and do not desire death or believe that death can claim that this pristineness of their immortal matter that they are now made of, will have animals that can be, if there's a loving bond between them, also immortal masters. And that was just put in today in the laws of existence, if you will. It's actually the intent of the infinite, but let's just call it that so everybody knows what we're talking about. Let's take a quick break, and when we come back, we'll look at the third root race.
Almien continues the exploration begun in her previous books, A Life of Miracles and Journey to the Heart of God, probing further into the nature and meaning of existence. Secrets of the Hidden Realms introduces the readers to the goddess mysteries as they apply not only to individual human lives, but to the cycles of the cosmos. From this background in the intangible functions of being, Almeen is led into the dimensions of non-humans, interacting with creatures previously known only in myth and folklore, the inner relationships of fairies, dragons, gnomes, unicorns, and other elementals, and their influence on humankind is explained. Vivid accounts of encounters with these beings and others existing as expressions of the widely divergent vibrations illustrate the essential unity of all creation. Journeying from these subtle realms, the reader is shown the ultimate expression of humanity, evolution into God-being. Secret of the Hidden Realms can be obtained from Almeen, along with her other books, CDs, workshops, lectures, and magazine by logging on to www.spiritualjourneys.com.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
Welcome back, and we were talking about the precepts of wisdom lived by the 144 root races. Each one of them has a very unique symbol that represents this concept of wisdom that the race is living out. So the third root race lives out this particular truth of the infinite being. Darkness is but a shadow cast by unaccessed potential. Light lies in equal amounts throughout all life, either accessed and expressed or as unyielded potential. When we see the light slumbering in another, we help awaken it into expressed potential, thereby removing the shadows from another's life. I'd like to read this one more time. It is very deep, and then we will discuss it. Darkness is but a shadow cast by unaccessed potential. My brothers and sisters, have you not considered how could darkness ever occur within the one life when all there is within it is light and pure frequency and pure power and energy? My brothers and sisters, what it is that casts the shadow is very similar to what we experience when we have undigested food. Undigested food causes allergies to occur because it acts like a poison to the system. When potential is inaccessible to us, which it was during the dream, now there's a big change that has happened in potential, which I want to explain. When it's inaccessible to us, it's like food that we can't digest. For instance, if you think that you need more iron in your diet and you go out and you get a nice supplement with iron, but it isn't chelated, you know, you may as well be eating rusty nails. It's not digestible to you. And many of the nutrients are like that. They need to be chelated because it's the difference between assimilatable potential versus something that is non-assimilated, that cannot be assimilated. So in the dream, a lot of the potential could not be properly assimilated. Why? Because we didn't have all the DNA strands. We started out, if you read in my book, Secrets of the Hidden Realms, we show you the crystalline symbols for the first 32 root races. We started out with 32 root races in the deep stages of the dream where creation began. Man only then had these 32 possibilities that he could live out with his DNA. Then we went to an expanded one, and you can read that in Opening the Doors of Heaven, The Mysteries of Isis, the revelations of the mysteries of Isis. But where we became beings in the more shallow stages of the dream, as the ascension began to wake up the infinite, that's really what the ascension is, we then became beings that had 96 strands of potential. The tremendous significance of getting 144, 12 times 12 clusters of DNA strands, my brothers and sisters, is that we can assimilate all potential, because the potential requires that number of interpretive devices, if you will. So we are able now to assimilate all potential until we were that which lay within us, but we couldn't really access and live, cast a shadow, because it was nothing more than unyielded light. Light is information that has been accessed. Potential that cannot be accessed is unaccessible. It's therefore unyielded light. Hence, it cast a shadow. And then we now have 144 abilities and to be able to assimilate all potential. So there is no reason for darkness to exist, which is the real and true state of affairs. Within the infinite being, there can be no darkness. That's the first thing to understand. It was just potential. Now, the next statement is incredible. It says, light lies in equal amounts throughout all life, either accessed and expressed, or as unyielded potential. Now, potential might be at this point not accessed and yield, but it is able to be. That's very important, meaning that it is accessed. However, we may not be listening to what is now accessed, and therefore we may not be expressing it. The big difference is that it doesn't cast a shadow. It is there when we want it. Those that are more asleep, if you will, are only living a small portion of it. Those of us who are becoming very conscious, well, okay, we can live as much of it as we like, meaning there is no limit to how enlightened we can become. And there is no ability of potential, once it's accessed, to be poisonous to us, to cast a shadow. When you use chelated calcium, now my mentor, I used to do medical intuitive work for many years when my little one was small and I didn't want to leave home so much, and so I'd get up at 4 in the morning and start working other time zones so that by the time she's awake I could be with her more. I got a lot of my mentorship from two very brilliant men. One is Dr. Jacobs in England, Dr. Robert Jacobs, and he's got a website there. He's a medical doctor on the absolute cutting edge of medical profession, and very brilliant man, very dear friend, and he was a phenomenal mentor in many ways. He very humbly claims the same, but nevertheless, we were always sharing tremendously much information. The other one that was my mentor is Dr. James Alexander in Oregon here in America, who I think very highly of. Dr. Alexander was the one that told me that when you're not assimilating minerals well, if you're taking chelated calcium, for instance, chelated potassium, you know, calcium citrate, potassium glucomate or gluconate, those sorts of things. If you're taking those, once they're chelated, it doesn't matter how much you take. What you are not using just flushes away. It's harmless. Right now, all potential held in life, what we are not prepared to use, because we can use all of it, but what we don't choose to use is no longer toxic to us, in that it no longer casts a shadow. All of it is assimilated by our DNA. So now what's interesting about this statement is it says light lies in equal amounts throughout all life. Either it's accessed and expressed, or it's lying there as potential. That means in previous times, we had people that had worked lifetime after lifetime after lifetime to become as conscious as they possibly can. We had other people that didn't do quite as well, that were less conscious. There was a hierarchy of consciousness. Yes, there still is, but there doesn't have to be. All light is within the infinite's one element, the infinite matter that is sacred and incorruptible, the only element in existence. Well, what we have currently is that it's equally in the table, as in the chair, as in the apple, as in your body, as in your dog, because everything is made from the one element, and the element is literally the infinite's body. So there is no place where there's less light than anywhere else. It's just how big of a cup are we holding up to receive it. So when we see the light slumbering in another, we help awaken it into expressed potential, thereby removing the shadows from another's life. Shadows are no longer shadows that are cast, that reflect the environment, but it is that which is unused. In other words, it's like a program in your computer. The program is now, and I hope I'm saying the right thing here, my brothers and sisters, I am not computer literate. I kind of listen to the geniuses around me that are very computer literate. Our Hong An has got a master's in computer sciences, and Ruhir has spent most of 2007 studying computer programs, and Paul is brilliant with computers as well. So, and he's our sound technician. So, you know, we've got all these very brilliant people around me, so I kind of pick up some lingo here or there. But there's a program in the computer. It's compatible with your computer. In the dream, portions of it was not compatible. So that was the problem. It was like a foreign thing in your computer which was making problems. Now it's a compatible program. It's there for you. If we recognize that that program slumbers in our brother's heart, we bring that program online for him. And it's not so much that it's a shadow, it's that it's unaccessed potential, it's untapped resources, because the resources are everywhere evenly. This is something that one entire race, the third root race, studies, that there is light in the table as much as there is in the living being. And therefore, to treat with respect everything that is. Let's take a quick commercial break and then we'll be back.
The Gift of the Unicorns is now available from Almeen. The magical book answers the question, do mystical creatures like the winged horse Pegasus, mermaids, and giants truly exist? What is their roles, and how can they be called upon for assistance? In their own words, the unicorns reveal where they went during the ages of darkness, their heroism in preserving purity and innocence, their golden shoes, and the secret mission they undertook for the mother of all creation. To receive your copy of this amazing book of sacred secrets, The Gift of the Unicorns, go to www.spiritualjourneys.com or call 502-499-0016 today.
You have been opening the doors of heaven with Almeen. For more information on your own spiritual journey, log on now to www.spiritualjourneys.com. Now back to Almeen.
We look now at the fourth concept of life, and life lived in a way that will bring heaven on earth. If it is lived and understood deeply enough by one of us, yes, we can change the external. Nurturing of others must occur from our largest awareness, as a consciousness superimposed over all that is, to prevent being trapped by social protocol. Oh, my goodness, this is profound. To understand it fully, my brothers and sisters, there is something that I need to share with you. During the dream, we had the following happen. During the deep stages of the dream, and we have discussed how this dream state was four stages that equates to the REM eye movement stages that the scientists have mapped out in man, the four stages of deep sleep and all the way to shallow sleep and so on. And we've discussed this on previous shows. But during the deep stages of sleep, where we were formed, life became identity consciousness oriented, meaning that we were only focused on ourselves as that which we are in terms of the body, the senses, and the external senses is what I'm talking about, and our taste, our smell, our touch, our sight, our hearing, so on, and then also our emotions. We thought that's all we were, this little bundle of things that I've mentioned, that was what we were. That is a totally contracted vision. The entries during the last few days into my blog diary have been fascinating. When we were in the deep stages of the dream, we actually functioned primarily from blue light. Our cosmos was suffused with blue light. Blue light is feminine, and it contracts. The contracting that happened during that time was entirely due to the fact that we did not form creation at the very beginning of existence from the full spectrum of light, but from the blue light. And I've had to really understand this issue of light, so I've written quite a bit on the blog about it because the infinite has wanted to give me the alchemy of light and frequency for humanity. So to understand even what we're talking about, I had to understand this, that the blue light's nature is to contract, to pull back. It was only as we neared the end of the dream and actually exited the dream into the half-awake stages that we started to have the red and the yellow light as well. The red light's nature is to expand. The blue light's nature is to contract, and the yellow light's nature was to keep the status quo. There have been changes in this in the last day or so. I think you'll find it on today's blog or yesterday's blog. But what I'm trying to say is that when we were in identity consciousness, our goal as light workers was to leave identity consciousness and go into expanded awareness. And there are teachers all over. And bless their hearts, I'm so glad that they did this. It's just that there's a couple of steps beyond this by far. But they've been teaching about the I am presence, I am consciousness. You know, don't sweat it. Don't even bother with anything in life. Just disconnect from it. Stay in the expansion. My brothers and sisters, that certainly was the next stage, right as we were half awake. But we are no longer half asleep. We are fully awakened. And there are stages that we need to move to that's beyond it. This is very similar to what you experience as you go through the stages of God consciousness. First, you are an ego identification, and you can read this in the book Secrets of the Hidden Realms, as well as some of the other books as well, but that one primarily has these stages mapped out. Plus, we have a video that we will also very, very soon have in very usable format on our own website, which is the ascendedmastery.com website, and also on our home site. But it is the ascended mastery, the stages of ascended mastery. In the beginning, you are contracted into identity consciousness. Then you go into God consciousness and you expand. But the actual fact of it is, if you stay in the bliss, you get totally stuck and you do no growing and you lose whatever you've accumulated. You have to get called the third phase of God consciousness. And the third phase of God consciousness is re-entering the human condition. And that third phase is where you can think with your expansion and your contraction at once. So that is an important thing that we have been gifted with as a cosmos as we left the dream. We've gone into this third stage where we are able to stay in expansion, also able to contract. If it serves our purposes, we will pretend for a moment to have a role that, you know, could be equated to an identity, but we know we're not that because we're also expanded. It just suits our purposes for the next bit to play the role of mother or play the role of wife or husband or whatever it is that we play, or lawyer or dentist. So we are able now. This is a gift that comes with the awakening from the dream to think from all minds at once. What this is saying is that if we nurture others from our contracted viewpoint, that means that we think we're having a relationship with them. Then we get trapped by the games. And what those games are is the human games. How are you feeling today? Oh, I'm not feeling so well. What is it that I can do about it? You know, immediately you're trying to fix. And then the other person is getting attention. They like to be fixed. You know, they're themselves in identity consciousness. So they give you all sorts of things that you can do to make them better. And they will spin you along. This is social games that people play. If you nurture from the largest identity, you realize that if there is a person in front of you in need, it is because there's a piece of yourself that is in need. First of all, you fix that piece within yourself. This person would not be in your environment if you did not have that same thing within. So you find what the real issue is, because this person's playing games. So you find what the real issue is. Then you heal it within. And then you see if there is just a single step, what the people in England call leg up, you know, like just helping somebody up on their horse. If there's a single leg up that you can give that person, that will send them on their way, because there's now no need for them to play those old roles anymore. Thank you very much. You have healed it within yourself, because all beings live within your expanded awareness. A being as vast as the cosmos and beyond, superimposed over all that is. So to prevent getting trapped in the games, and, you know, the Toltecs have traditionally withdrawn from the games, but then you also need to be quite clear whether there is this one handout that will change that person's life around, and at what level to give it. And you can only see that from the large perspective. So that is what number four is. And I'm going to try and squeeze number five in before our show ends, from the fifth root race. Self-centeredness occurs when the outer senses dominate. Outer and inner senses must merge and experience life from the largest perspective. A being as large as the cosmos, having a human experience. When we are familiar only with our taste, our smell, our sight, our ears, and our touch, then the external world tends to dominate our awareness. And it gives the external world a life that is more prominent than it deserves. We have had a lot of unrest in our financial world back and forth. The infinite has decreed that debts must be paid, and a lot of times people that are deeply in debt to credit card companies are not the ones to blame. It's the credit card companies that have lured and lured and lured them into this debt that they're in, and of course, because they were indebted to themselves, it manifested in their lives. But they've created bondage. So my brothers and sisters, it's time for things to even out. It's time, so we're seeing a lot of reshuffling in the world. But when we become fearful of it as though it has a life of its own, a lot of times the problem area is that our outer senses have made the external world real, and instead of understanding that it is our expression. Let's look at how it should be. There are incredibly beautiful inner senses. And both in the book, the Opening the Doors of Heaven, the Mysteries of Isis, as well as Windows into Eternity, we have spoken about the inner senses. We have had 96 inner senses. Two nights ago during the night, this rose that we have drawn before that indicates the DNA of man, I spent most of the night drawing, not here in the physicality, but actually in the halls of the Jongala Brook, who are the cat people. And they work with frequencies and how the frequencies relate to color, which is why I spoke about the cat magic coinciding with the alchemy of light and frequency. They're giving it to us even this day we've received. So if we take a look at that, that rose has represented our DNA strands. There are extra rows of petals that have come on in the rose. I spend most of the night drawing the symbols in those extra rows of petals. We now have 144 inner senses. Are we still enough to hear it? It comes in the form of a flickering of trust, of love, of inspiration, of beauty, of humor. These are our inner senses, and we can only hear them when we take time to listen. How can we listen if there is no time? We will hear them in the moment when we cease to oppose life, paying attention to the ripples that flutter across the vastness of our being. We will get to know our inner senses. They are at the deepest core level, our guidance sense and system. Just as much as our touch tells us to pull our hand back from the fire, so our inner sense will tell us when we have just lived our highest truth because of how good it feels. My brothers and sisters, we must cultivate our inner senses. Only then will self-centeredness disappear. And self-centeredness is death to us. It is in inclusiveness that eternal life lies. I must close now, and I will be with you again next week. Thank you for being with me.
We hope you have enjoyed today's show, Opening the Doors of Heaven with Armin. You can listen every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time, right here on Sedona Talk Radio. That's every Saturday at 6 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We'll see you next week.